Well, this morning's scripture comes from Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. And that's basically the only ayah that's in here, and you don't even have to pronounce it. So we're good with names in this particular part of this scripture. And at the end of it, you'll recognize, you know, some pretty familiar words. Now, Isaiah is considered the first of the major prophets. And the prophets are kind of divided to major and minor. And Isaiah, and like Jeremiah, was another one of the major prophets. And then you've got Amos and Zephaniah. I think it's Zephaniah's the last book, is that they're minor prophets. And actually, in Isaiah 40, you actually see a big change if you've been reading along in the book of Isaiah since then. Is all of a sudden, this really starts where Isaiah starts to prophesy. Before that, most of what he writes has to do with the Assyrian captivity that the Northern Kingdom?
Northern Kingdom
found themselves in. And as we pass on to the 40th chapter, is all of a sudden he starts to prophesy, and he will actually, couple chapters, is prophesy the fall of the southern kingdom to the Babylonians. Some people actually think there were three Isaiahs that wrote this, but, you know, that's just, you know, debate, let's put it that way. There are parts of this of Isaiah 40, though, that actually do show up in the New Testament, including some part in Paul's writings. So, with all that, let us begin. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and might is regarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May God add his understanding to this word.
Thank you, Jim. This morning we're talking about waiting for the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And I've got a little story to tell about waiting. There was a man who was waiting in the hospital to be the first person in history to receive a brain transplant. The doctor comes in and says, "Congratulations, but unfortunately, since this is a new procedure, you're going to have to foot the bill for the whole thing." Okay? He says, "But you do have three choices for brains." He says, "We're going to give you three choices and you can decide what you can afford." He says, "Okay, doc, what are they?" The doc says, "Well, first there's an engineer brain." Well, he says, "Oh, I like that." He says, "That's $100 an ounce." He says, "Okay, what else is there?" "There's an astrophysicist brain, but that's going to cost you $200 an ounce." Okay. He says, "Is that it?" He says, "No, there's one more." He says, "And it's the most expensive one. It's a politician's brain. It's $1,000 an ounce." The man says, "Doc, you've got to be crazy. That's absurd. Why is the politician's brain so expensive?" The doctor turns to him and says, "Do you have any idea how many politicians it takes to get 1 ounce of brain?" Okay, we've got an election year coming up, don't we? Okay. All right. Talking about waiting, I wanted to share some other scriptures with you because it is throughout the Old Testament, especially about waiting for the Lord. And so this is something that, of course, we don't like to wait for anything nowadays, do we? But here let's go. So what is he saying here? I'm going to review the scripture. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31, when he says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel?" What he's saying is, I'm talking to the people of God because Jacob and Israel, of course, Jacob's name became Israel after he wrestled with God, and he was the father of a great nation. But it says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel," so in other words, O people of God, "that my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God?" In other words, what they're saying is, God is not paying any attention to me. Mommy, you know, kind of like that. God is not paying any attention to me. Okay, we go on. Verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Isaiah begins to say as a response to this, the Lord is the everlasting God. There is no other God that is everlasting. There is no other God, actually. The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You can't figure him out completely because he is so far above us. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even young people will faint and be weary, and the young will be exhausted at times. Okay, so what he's saying is even young people run out of energy. Let me know when that happens at our house with these. Well, they seem to go about 100 miles an hour, then they, boom, that's it. Then they stop and take a nap. But even young people run out of energy. But in verse 31, he says, but those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. In other words, the inference here is that, but there is a power, there is a rejuvenation that is available to the people of God. And when we praise God and when we talk to God, we feel His presence and we are renewed. And he goes on to say, they will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So there is a promise of power and endurance here. There's also something else here. You ever notice the eagles are hunters, but nobody hunts the eagles? They are not the hunted. Eagles are the hunters, not the hunted. So God's children are called to be the hunters and not the hunted. But don't you feel like you're the hunted sometimes? But we haven't grown enough. We haven't grown enough. We need to come to that point where we have an overcoming life for the most part. There is no reason for the eagle to be afraid. And God is saying there is no reason for God's kids to be afraid either. When we go deep with God and get into His care and get into His presence, there is no reason for God's children to be afraid. Well, there is one reason to be afraid. If we say that God is a liar and there is no power, and if we don't talk with Him and pray with Him and thank Him and give Him praise, and as a matter of fact, that's what the Bible gets right down to it. It's we should be talking to God all the time. We should be praying to God all the time. It should be a continual conversation. If we don't talk with Him and pray with Him and thank Him and give Him praise, that is our life that we are called to do. And we are called to be overcomers. It is no secret then that what we are called to do, we don't do 100%, but that is waiting for us. So I'd like to answer one question for me this morning. Is Jesus, well, it's two questions. Is Jesus the Messiah, and has He overcome death and hell? What is the answer to that? Yes. Of course He is. Remind yourself of this truth every day. Get in the Word, and when you find a word that speaks to you, rest on that. You know, when you read through the Scripture, a lot of you are reading through the Bible in a year, but I would encourage you, when you get to something, you know, don't just read it so fast so you can get through it, but when you get to something that sticks out to you, stop and take a note of that, because what that means is God's Spirit is saying, you need to notice this. Just stop for a minute, John. Stop for a minute. Take a note of that. What could I possibly be trying to say? Why is this standing out to you? Rebuild yourself into a positive thinking, positive praying, positive praising warrior eagle of God. An eagle who is ready for battle. Satan wants us to be sitting and standing still. He wants us to be waiting for the snake to come and encircle us. He wants us to be sitting and not being active with God. But God tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can be at war with Satan, and He promises that we will win. Satan is not standing still. He's moving forward. If we sit or stop, we lose. Satan is always looking for those who he can devour, according to Peter. The only time that we're waiting is when we're refueling with God's presence. Then we wait and we refuel and we refresh ourselves. I want to share with you some other scriptures about waiting and overcoming. Throughout Scripture, it says to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to give you a couple right now. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says this, "The Lord waits to be gracious to you and therefore exalts himself to show love to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for him." In other words, what Isaiah is saying here in chapter 30, verse 18 is this, if you wait for the Lord, God himself is waiting for you to wait for him. So if you wait for the Lord as he wants you to, then he is waiting for that right time to bless you and love you. That's Isaiah 30, verse 18. Well, I kind of like that. I mean, if he's waiting for me to wait so that he can do some work, that's cool. Okay, what else you got, Pastor John? Here we go. Isaiah 49, 23. This is pretty amazing, and it speaks to the new heaven and the new earth. Isaiah 49, 23. "Kings shall be your foster fathers, and queens shall be your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they will bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. We are compared to warriors and eagles, not snakes." In other words, what Isaiah is saying here is that at the end of it all, people of high stature, kings and queens, will be our maids and our servants. They will be taking care of us. "Then you will know that I am the Lord. Wait on me. You are a warrior eagle. You are not a snake." Isaiah 64, and I love this one. Isaiah 64, 4. "From the days of old, as long as time has been recounted, no one has heard by their ear and no one has seen with their eye any God except for you who acts for those who wait for him." I'll say it again. In all of history, there has never been another God that has even promised to do this. And this is what he does. He acts for those who wait for him. The only God who blesses those who wait for him. Psalm 37:9. "Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." Proverbs 20:22. "Do not say, I will repay evil for evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you." In other words, let God take care of God's business. God will repay evil on your behalf. And I love this from 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Peter says this, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day, because God lives in eternity," right? So a day, 1,000 years, it doesn't matter to God, right? "Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some of you think he is, but he is being patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but he is waiting for all persons to come to repentance." So why doesn't God always answer your prayer exactly when you want him to? Because there might be somebody dying over in India that's on the prayer line right now. There might be somebody dying in Russia. There might be somebody dying somewhere else. And there is something more urgent than you have a toothache, believe it or not. But God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. Now, we've read some scripture about waiting for God. Now, some science. I'll give you a little bit of science. This is from Dr. Judith Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F. She's a psychotherapist, and she wrote this in Psychology Today in 2012. It's called The Power of Patience, The Power of Patience. And she writes this, "The importance of patience as a coping skill and how to achieve it. As a psychiatrist," she says, "patience is an invaluable skill that I teach all my psychotherapy clients. I emphasize the importance of patience as a coping skill to everyone I reach and how to achieve it. And this is important. You might want to write this down. I know it makes total sense. But she says this. She says, frustration, we've got plenty of it today. She says, frustration is not the key to any door. So in other words, it's not going to open the door. So being frustrated doesn't do us any good. Frustration is not the key to any door, says the good Dr. Judith Orloff. Patience is a lifelong spiritual practice as well as a way to find emotional freedom. She suggests that we need a new bumper sticker. Instead of saying stuff happens, she says that we should have a new one for America that says frustration happens. Every morning, every noon, and every night, there are plenty of good reasons to be impatient. Another long line, telemarketers on the phone, the goal at work is not coming through fast enough, people don't do what they're supposed to do, you feel that you're rejected, you feel disappointed by other people. How do we deal with all this disappointment? You can drive yourself crazy, she says. You can become irritated, and you can feel like you're a victim, or you can try to force an outcome. All of these things are self-defeating that push others away and bring out the worst in them and the worst in you. Or, she says, you can learn to transform frustration with patience. Now, patience doesn't mean that you're weak, she says, but it means that you are grabbing onto a power that's inside of you. It's an emotionally freeing experience of waiting, watching, and knowing when to act. Patience has gotten a bad rap for the wrong reasons. For many people, when you say have patience, it feels like they have to be weak. They have to limit themselves. But she is saying, I'm presenting patience as a form of compassion, a realignment to intuition, what is going on inside of you. It is a strength and not a weakness. It is a way to emotionally create a healthier you in a world filled with frustration. To frustrate means to obstruct or make ineffectual. Frustration is a bad feeling of agitation inside of us, triggered when all of our needs are not met. Mommy, he stole my toy. I've heard that a few times recently. But sometimes I'm no better. It's tied to the inability to delay gratification. We want it, and we want it now. We become very used to immediate results, haven't we? The email goes across the entire world in just a matter of seconds. You can talk to people. Nowadays, parents send text messages to their kids who are playing out in the yard to come in to dinner instead of yelling out on the front porch. But despite all of the advantages that we have with the digital age, it has given us a low tolerance for frustration. Not just when you accidentally delete a computer file, but also it gives us frustration in how we approach our relationships and how we approach ourselves. Without patience, you turn into your own worst taskmaster. Why didn't I do that right? I didn't get it right. Oh, I'm not perfect. Oh, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. That's your own worst taskmaster. We treat spouses and friends as disposable instead of devoting necessary time to nurture and love. The clock is all that matters. Patience, however, gives you the liberating breath, says the doctor, that you've always longed to take. Patience is your friend. Patience makes you healthier. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And that's what we're going through, right? Love, joy, peace. Patience. We've all got patience, though, right? We've all got it for about 5 seconds. The opposite of that is frustration, and that's what's rampant today, and I'll give you just a little bit more on that. Frustration prevents emotional freedom. Frustration guarantees that you are inching closer to depression, she says. Frustration is a slippery slope, and you will be in depression if you don't watch it and catch yourself. Expressing frustrations can be good to let off steam, but we should never play the blame game. You can be frustrated, but be very careful about assigning that blame to somebody else. Oh, it's her fault. It's his fault. You don't know what they did. If you do blame others, you'll put them on the defensive, and you will be wallowing in frustration, leading to deep satisfaction. And all of this, the doctor says, places us at odds with life itself and makes us very ripe for suicide. Isn't that what's going on in America today? Everybody, it's the internet and the cell phone. We need to turn them off. We need to get away from those things. We need to have some health in our lives. This emotion makes us tense. It kills our sense of humor. It also leads to procrastination. We put things off to avoid being annoyed. I'm not going to do that because what if it doesn't work out? I'm going to be really upset. Okay, that's really cowardly, but yeah, go ahead. It also leads to procrastination. Conquering frustration revives your emotions in a healthy way. Conquering frustration, in other words, finding this gift of the Spirit, revives your emotional life by making it your choice and how you handle stress every day. And the doctor says this, I define patience as an active state, a decision to hold still until my gut or the Holy Spirit says, go ahead and make your move. It means waiting your turn and knowing that your turn will come. She also says, every world religion sees patience as a way to get to know God. That should clue us in onto what's really going on. Patience is a gift and a power given by God. It moves within our reach when you can read someone else's deeper motives. The truth is, hurt people hurt people. Right? Hurt people hurt people. And if we just echo that and reflect it back to them, then we're just continuing the hurt in this world. God has called us to be eagles and warriors, not the victims. We are all broken and we are all called to be God's overcoming eagle warriors and God's healing physicians. That's a lot to take in. All that science. She talked about how to get patients. And I'll end with this, almost ending. I'm going to give you a summary at the end. But she says this. This is what she does to practice. She says, look for a long, slow-moving line. You know, like at the bank sometimes, or the grocery store. Get in the longest line. Or the mother of all lines, the motor vehicle line. Get in there. And she says, now, this is what I want you to do. The good doctor says, Dr. Orlon, she says, here's the switch. Instead of getting irritated or pushy, which puts toxins and poisons into your system with a rush of stress hormones, which can be deadly, by the way. So when you're upset and you dwell on it, and when you ruminate, as she says, in it, it can kill you. So stop being upset. You say, oh, my mother was always upset when things like this has happened. This is the way I learned it, Pastor John. You don't understand. Well, yeah, okay, but it's your life. She says this. She says, take a breath and tell yourself, when you get in this long line, I'm going to wait peacefully and I'm going to enjoy this pause. Try to empathize with that cashier who is dealing with all of these crazy people. Look at them. Try to empathize with them. Try to empathize with the government employee who is trying to take care of all of these motor vehicles. Smile. Say some nice words to other people that are around you in line. And maybe take a little notebook with a few nice things that you wanted to think about. Maybe you've got a note that you want to write to a grandkid or a friend far away. You can maybe write a couple letters doing a motor vehicle plan. Notice the stress relief you feel, she says, and how your body relaxes when you are in control. You have decided that you're not going to let this get you upset. Lines are an excellent testing ground for patients. Practicing patience will help you dissipate stress and give you a choice in how you respond to frustration and disappointment. When you can stay calm and centered and not react rashly out of frustration, all the other areas of your life will improve.
I just have to add this one other little thing. Men, this is for men. You, ladies, you can listen to it. So, and I shared this with somebody yesterday because I came across and I thought, this is pretty good. You know, men, there's one thing they find you can do, and you will live 4 years longer on average. Kiss your wife every time you meet and leave for a minimum of 6 seconds. It's got to be at least 6 seconds. That's when the endorphins start to go. And the endorphins are healing. Now, we all know that married men live longer than single men, and we all know that married women live shorter than single women. So, they got a bad rap. But this is something that's been proven true scientifically. So, I want to share that. Okay, so I'm going to give you seven short things here. This is what we've learned today, just in case you didn't know. Number one, we have a patient God who wants us also to be patient and share this gift of patience with us. Because he knows it will make us live longer. Number two, he is very patient with us. He calls us to be like him and to share his patience and his power. Number three, we are the hunters, not the hunted. This is what God has called us to be. We are not supposed to be sitting on our phones and waiting to be devoured by sin and conflict and hate and every other thing that comes across the internet. Instead, we should be refusing the arrows of Satan who seeks to destroy us. And when something comes up, there's always an off button. I love that. Number four, patience is a power, not a weakness. And it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's number four. Number five, frustration is not the key to any door. But it is a door to suicide and depression. Number six, focusing on patience makes us more like God. It gives us peace and power and control. Again, we are created to be the hunters, not the hunted. We are not to sit still and wait for Satan to come. And finally, number seven, 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. Once again, I'll read this. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved brothers and sisters, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like one day. So don't think that God is just like you and why is he waiting? But God lives in eternity, and we do not. He goes on to say this, the Lord is not slow about his promises, some think of being slow, but he is patient with you because he doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. The Bible says this about repentance. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the gift and the power and the life that is available through patience. And it is available as a fruit of the Spirit when we ask God. He will not deny you your gift if we ask. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for this day. And we pray, Lord, that our souls would be still, that we would listen to you, and that we would shut off all the devices, the internet, the TV, and the phone, and just get along with you, and to praise you, and to listen to what you are saying to us. Lord, you lead us and guide us, but we need to turn off the noise. Be still, my soul, and love our people.